It's going to play my music. I started doing this. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Hashtag No Limits, and I am your host, Shelley Kino. Hashtag No Limits is about Wow. Okay. It's like I've never done this before. All right. Let me try that again. Hashtag No Limits is about people that society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. I don't believe that that is an easy task to do. And if you think about it, the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells. It reforms into the butterfly. And if that's not strenuous and complicated enough, then it has to struggle to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be able to fly. None of that can be easy, but neither is busting through the limits that society places upon a person. And today I have two people from an organization that is going to immensely help teachers, because teachers are a huge part in helping our caterpillars turn into those butterflies. And I'm really excited. I got to meet Jen several months back at a conference for teachers. And when I learned about this software that they're going to talk about today, I just was blown away at how awesome it is and just the possibilities of the things that it can do for our teachers to give them some of their time back, to kind of streamline things for them. And so enough about that and enough about me. Jen and Rochelle, thank you so much for joining me today. Welcome, ladies. How are you both doing?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to get into this. Just a couple of little housekeeping things. If anyone is watching us live, if you would please put it in the chat where you're from and hashtag live. And if you're watching this in the replay, if you would do the same thing. If you have any questions at all or comments, go ahead and put those into the chat as well, and I'll be able to pull those up and show our guests today, and they'll be able to answer any questions that you might have. So, Jen, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your backstory.
Sure. So, I am from Texas, and I taught special education for 14 years. And in that time, kind of worked with every age group and every possible program and setting. I've started in behavior and then on a self-contained campus, but most of my time was in life skills, so self-contained, low instance disabilities, and then did some resource and inclusion. And when I knew that I was ready to leave the classroom because I felt like it was just time for me to move on to a different challenge, I just through a series of kind of random events ended up with ESGI, and the good news was they were like, hey, our CEO, Jim Bowler, was like, we really want to expand into special ed. And I was like, that would be my dream job. And so it was kind of like the perfect storm for timing. And yeah, so I've been there for 2.5 years and I've loved every minute of it.
Awesome. And Rochelle, tell us about you.
Sure. I am an educator as well. I realized this year would be my 35th year in education, and I'm real proud to say that I've been a teacher that long. I also took a little bit of time to be an administrator at a school, and I was principal for quite a few years, and that's where I met Greg Gorman, the founder of ESGI. Now, Greg Gorman was a kindergarten teacher on my campus where I was the principal. So wow. I got to see this software from the ground up. And so some might say I'm the grandma of ESGI, which I don't mind. And I've seen it go through a lot of iterations. So as you can imagine, when we first started, we were a software that you had to install in a computer with a disk. And so we moved from that all the way up to where we are now, an internationally known company whose parent company is Riverside Insights Publishing. So Riverside Insights is the maker of the COGAT, the Woodcock-Johnson, the Iowa, all those assessments. They're our parent company. So ESGI stands for Education Software for Guiding Instruction, and it's my mission to know that you all know that. And we are really teacher-driven. That is our mission, to really reach teachers. So as you heard Jen say, she is an educator. I am as well. And many of our people, our CEO as well. And so we all understand the needs of teachers, and it is our mission to make teachers' lives improved with our software. So today we're going to talk a little bit about how we meet those needs, and I'm eager to see if anyone has any information in the chat there. We can answer any of their questions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So this didn't start out as a special education software then. I was under the impression that it had. So that's really interesting. So this kindergarten teacher, who is the CEO, why did he found this? What was his thinking about, oh, this is going to help me do what?
Progress monitoring for kindergarten is really where it started. He was really tired of doing the paper and pencil assessments as teachers do in the early grades, maybe using flashcards, maybe documenting in an assessment binder, which we all had back in the day. And he wasn't able to use the data in the way that he really needed to. And so for his master's in education, he decided to make a project, which was develop a way to collect and analyze data that would be just a lot easier. And so that's where it started. He was not a programmer. He was a kindergarten teacher. And so he really just tried out all the different ideas with his partner teacher, who was getting ready to retire. And so he was able to reflect on the different aspects of the software, run them through her lens, and try to see, does this meet all the needs of all the teachers? And then from there, we've just continued to improve based on teacher feedback. And so we give a survey every year to all of our teachers and administrators who use ESGI, and they tell us what they like, what could be improved. And then Jen and I take those and we look through them and collaborate together, and then talk to our development team about how to make recommendations for improvement of our product. So a lot of the things you see in our software are directly related to what teachers have told us that they need. Fast forward to what we're going to talk about today is how we meet the needs of special ed teachers and specialists, people who possibly teach, you know, reading intervention or any type of specialists. And special ed teachers. So we've got some exciting things coming, which we believe no other software is really doing, help collect the data and report the data specifically for IEPs. And so we're excited to talk with you about that today.
Yeah, so I find that amazing because as a teacher myself, to know that there are people out there like me that were listened to, that were using it in the trenches, so to speak, and they were like, you know, if it could just do this, or if it did this a little bit more, and you actually listened and made it applicable for those right there doing it and using it. There's so many programs, I think, and ideas that are developed by people who don't have an education background, and then they don't use educator input. And so it's kind of fruitless, in my opinion, because if you're not talking to the people that are going to use your product, what's the point?
Right. I think something interesting about ESGI and what drew me to it and why I want to continue to be with ESGI for a very long time, and something so unique about ESGI is they kind of operate with the curb cut effect, right? So when curbs were first designed, they were just these big humps that you had to step over. And at some point in time, somebody said, hey, what if we had a cutout so people who were wheelchair users had better access to the curb? But what happened was everyone had better access to the curb. If they were pushing a stroller, or if they were carrying luggage, or if they were on roller skates or on a bicycle. So ESGI's had that mentality from the beginning. How can we loop everyone in? When we make certain improvements and certain things more accessible and add certain features, sure, it benefits this community of special educators and interventionists, but in turn, it also helps everyone. And I think that's always been the mentality of VSGI. And so one thing I love about working there and getting to do all these projects specific to SPED and to specific to intervention is their mindset has always been, how do we loop more people in? How are we more inclusive? How are we leveling the playing field?
Yeah, that's amazing. And I was touring a school this morning in St. Louis, Missouri, and they were talking about a very similar concept of, you know, oftentimes what's good for a small population, or what we think is going to be good for a small population, ends up being very helpful to the whole population. It might look different in how it's helpful, but so often when we make a change for a smaller population, we find out that, especially in education, that it's beneficial to all. So really, I love that. I love that your company does that. And I love that they instill that in the employees, you know, because you're not the founder, Jen, and you get that feeling and you see that happening. And so to me, that's really good. One of the things that you said, Rochelle, about the founder when he started this is that he had all of this data, but he couldn't do with it what he wanted to do with it. Can you elaborate a little bit about that? I think I know what you're referring to, but I would prefer that you say it.
Sure, absolutely. How do you differentiate instruction if you don't know where students are? So with the ability to gather the data, look at the data per student, look at the specific skills that they need to remediate, then you have a direction that you can go with that particular student. It's not one score for the whole class and you just design your lessons around that. This one is so you can specifically look at each child and see what they need. You can group them together then. If you have that data, you find out these students have this particular skill that they need to work on, put them all together. You can do that in ESGI easily as a group, and then you can progress monitor towards those skills. In addition, we have parent letters and flashcards. So it's fantastic to be able to collect the data and then report to parents in a very easy way so parents can see in their home language which skills the student needs to work on. So I think it's about guiding your instruction, which is part of our name, right? Getting the data so that you can help in real time those students individually.
There were two huge things that you said in there. You said in their home language, mm-hmm. and that it is in real time. Mm-hmm. So often, and you mentioned this when you talked about your parent company, Riverside, you know, that they do all of these standardized tests. But when Correct. You do the standardized tests, at least in my experience, it was you do them in the spring and you don't get the results until the fall. And then by that point, the children are in a different grade level. They are maybe not even performing at that level anymore because they've either regressed or progressed. And so the data is pointless in my opinion. And I've never really seen, except broad spectrum wise, like, oh, every, you know, the majority of our population is doing poorly in math or is doing poorly in reading. And so we change that overall curriculum. But to address a specific need right away is huge. And I think, like, goodness, I can only imagine how that would have helped me as a special educator be able to even more specially design instruction. But certainly as a gen educator, mm-hmm. to see, oh, okay, this child just needs, you know, a little bit of scaffolding in this one area. And also the whole, oh, you know what? You know, maybe I do need to go back and teach that lesson or teach that concept again, because everybody is missing that skill.
That's exactly right.
Beautiful, yeah. And mind-blowing at the same time.
You said something that I say all the time. If I had ESGI when I was teaching SPED, it would have changed my life. It would have been my magic wand. And I was thinking as you were talking, what do you do when you need to assess a skill that isn't standardized? Because how many standardized learners do you know, even in the gen ed classroom? So with ESGI, because you can put in any skill that you need to collect data on that you want to monitor, and you can monitor it as many times as you want. It's ongoing. So we have this huge variety of tests available in there, but you can also modify any test or put in your own test. But we even have functional skills tests now where it's tying your shoe or wiping down a table or cleaning an iPad, because those are the types of daily living skills that all kids have to acquire at some point. But those aren't standardized skills. Those are skills that, you know, you address as you see the need. So, yeah, I feel like that's kind of the beauty of ESGI. Is it's not just that you can monitor as many things as you want and as many times as you want, but it's also putting in the things that are relevant to your specific students. And that was already there, right, before they started thinking in terms of special education and intervention. So that was kind of that whole, you know, curb cut effect situation. But yeah, if you're trying to monitor and assess skills that aren't standardized, that aren't part of a curriculum, where do you go to do that? And so that, right, this was the answer to that question.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's incredible. Because honestly, when you write an individualized education program, it is supposed to be individualized to that student. Now, we do have schools across the country who unfortunately will take a state standard and put it into the IEP, whether it's truly appropriate or not, because they have this misconception that the IEP has to be the state standard where the actual law says it needs to align to the standard. So you don't need to take it directly from the Common Core or your state standards, whichever you use. And yeah, so much of that is not in some of these software programs that people have to write IEPs. And so then you have to, you know, come up with, how am I going to write this goal? How's it going to look? How's it going to be taught? And yeah, then there's because it's not a standard, it's not in some of the monitoring software. So that's absolutely brilliant to allow the teacher to be able to do that. I'm just thinking, wow, what a game changer this would have been.
Yeah, I know.
And I know now can be for all the teachers that are, whether they're gen ed or special ed, because this is for everybody across the spectrum. So go ahead.
Yeah. And we do have specialist accounts now. And one of the things that's coming that I'm literally so excited about, like, it gives me goosebumps to even talk about it. We have in August, we are releasing the ability for any test in our entire system to be set against an IEP goal in the system. And then it will print your IEP reports, which will have the progress over time. It shows a line, you know, over time. And it'll have all of the same functionality, like in your IEP software, where you can, you know, write in your benchmarks and write your goal in and do the narrative and do a status update. This goal is in progress. This goal is mastered. This goal is generalized. Make recommendations for what needs to come next. Put notes in. So in ESGI, you can already go in as you're testing it. It collects all of your data for you. It automates the entire thing. Imagine a world in which you don't have to print data sheets for every single goal for every single student. And then not only is it all automated for you, but you have this, all of, you know, the functionality that you would probably have as in terms of a progress report for an IEP. And then you can just cut and paste it into the software that you are required to use, if you even have software. A lot of people we talk to are just doing pencil and paper still. So this completely cuts out the element of those big, thick data binders that nobody ever even looks at. When did you ever have anyone come into your classroom and look at your data? Never, right? It went on home in a progress report and maybe was talked about in an IEP meeting or an ARD meeting, as we call them here in Texas. But then it just sat there, and you can do so much more with it, and it's relevant because it's happening in real time.
Yeah. And IEPs are supposed to be data driven. And so often, because somebody has a big, thick binder, it is kind of data driven because they've taken the data. But a lot of times teachers don't have the time to go back and do what Rochelle mentioned the program does, is you can see specifically how this student is doing on the skill. And you can also see how the class itself is doing on a particular skill. But you can also say, well, you know, student A is working on this and student B is working on this and student C is working on this. And to get that data and to just have it generated, and you talked about reports, I'm assuming, tell me if I'm wrong, that there are like graphs and charts that kind of, you know, make it pretty, but the pretty makes it understandable. You know, if you just write out a bunch of numbers, you know, that's wonderful for somebody like me who loves numbers and, you know, likes to get into the data and all that stuff. But you can still just tell the picture so much faster if you have that graph or that chart. And then, like, everybody's on the same page instantly. Oh, okay, well, here they went. Oh, well, what happened here? Like, how do we fix that? What do we do with that? And if you're looking at that real time, you can do something about it in real time.
Yeah, and we talk about the way that we know that kids process information differently. Grown-ups are the same way. So being able to see the notes written out and also have a visual representation of what those notes are saying, like this is the graph over time, that's beneficial for everyone. And it's nice to just do a quick visual check, like, hey, they dropped off here. Go look at the test session notes. Oh, they had a med change. They were really sleepy that day. That's not a true regression, right? So being able to have all of that right at your fingertips, and Rochelle can tell you more about this, but admin accounts are free in ESGI. So if you are a teacher or specialist and your admin on your campus can get a free account, they can log in and see what you're doing at any time. I don't know that I ever had an admin that knew the login to our IEP software, you know, that went in and checked that. They can go in and see at any point in time exactly what you're doing in your classroom and which kids are working on which interventions, or, you know, how your IP information is going once we have that new report. It's kind of incredible. And I find myself going like, wow, I really wish I would have thought about this. Like when I was teaching, I wish that I had invented this thing.
So you're right. With admin, here's just a little example of how it's used at the admin level. So when I was a school site principal, you know what happens. Parents just show up unexpectedly in the office and they really need to talk about their child's performance, right? And so with ESGI, I could sit the parent down, I could log into that classroom, I could drill down to the student, and I could specifically see, oh, you're right, Emma's doing great in uppercase letters, but you know, she really is struggling in counting. So let's work on that. And here's some flashcards that I can print out right here from my desk. Never had to bother the teacher, never had to look in a data binder. I was able to take care of that parent's needs right then and there in the office because I could log into ESGI. And so we have those as included with teacher accounts at the school site level. In addition, we have a district level login as well. Now, this is super beneficial because a district administrator or a group of district administrators could set common assessments to publish out to all the teachers, and then they could adopt them and administer them, and then that data rolls up to the district level. So they can see at a very high level how everybody's doing on certain skills. And so super beneficial to them, as well as down to the school site level. Maybe there's coaches on the grade level who are actually doing work to help the teachers. Well, they could log in at the school site level and again, look at all the data there. So all that's included with ESGI. We also include all of our product training free of charge as well, because we're about the teachers, right? We want to make sure all the teachers have what they need to get started with ESGI. But I'll tell you what, teachers can sign up on their own and get started. It's that easy. So we do offer a free 60-day trial for anybody that wants to try it out and get started with our assessments. If you do a free 60-day trial, no credit card is required, and you get full functionality. So, for instance, you would have access to over 2,500 tests in our Test Explorer that you could use as is, or as Jen said, modify to meet your own needs. So we're very flexible. We are a platform. We're for ongoing progress monitoring. Everybody needs ongoing progress monitoring, no matter which grade level you're at. And so we have the opportunity for kids to sit with the teacher, take the assessment one-on-one, or they can take self-assessed tests, which are assigned by the teacher. And so they go on the computer by themselves, they use headsets, They get to listen to the directions if appropriate, and then make their choices on the computer. And it's the exact same test the teacher would give one-on-one, but then they have the option. Because again, some students might be ready to self-assess and some are not. So you can assess the same skill with the same test two ways.
And wow. So the really interesting thing here too is when you're talking about differentiation, so you can go into our system, find an assessment that works for, let's say, the middle group of your class. But then if you have kids that need enrichment on that skill, you can modify that test to make it a more enriching version of that skill assessment. And if you have kids who need remediation, you can modify that test to make it a more remedial version. So that's instant differentiation, right? And then when you're talking about, you know, even when, whether you're, you know, gen ed or writing IEP goals, having a kid move from a teacher-led assessment to doing it independently, that's always the goal, is to be more independent. So that's, you know, he's done this really well with me and he's ready to generalize and do this on his own. So that's another way that it's that differentiation for all students is just kind of built into the system, which again, benefits everyone.
Wow. I don't know what else to say. This is just so incredible. And I love the fact that, Rochelle, you used it in this way and that administrators can use it to kind of protect the teacher's time, because you are you are up by the front doors. Usually the administrators are, and to just say, yeah, come in, sit down. I'll go over this with you. We can look at this. I can help, I can provide you the services, because I know that's a lot of teacher burnout, is answering all those questions all the time. And because we want to help, we don't set good boundaries for ourselves and stick to those boundaries of, oh, only reach me between, you know, this time and this time. You know, parents send emails in the middle of the night. If we happen to be up, we most likely are going to answer that email. If we are the kind of teacher that hands out a personal phone number and they call after the hours that we say we're available, we're still going to answer the phone in a lot of cases because we want to help. But that also causes stress and burnout because we're always on the clock without being on the clock. So the fact that they could, you know, the parents can just contact the administrator and the administrator can have all of that access. Do the parents have any kind of access to the data? Like, can they log in, or is it all just printed out for them, given to them that way?
Not at this time. We don't have a parent portal. So that's something that possibly could happen in the future, but not at this time. We really are focused on the teachers' administrators. And so the teachers can send home the reports via email if they choose. So that's another option. They can download and send them home via email. So you don't have to use paper. But at this time, parents aren't logging in.
And they do have the parent letters. And one of my favorite things to tell teachers about and watch their faces just light up, we have customizable flashcards and bingo cards. So I don't know if you've ever tried to make bingo cards in Microsoft Word. It is a super not fun. You change one thing and everything on your changes and the electricity goes off and there's sirens in the distance. I don't know. So
I hate formatting. It is the worst for me.
So you have bingo cards that are just there. You can just run it off your test. And we have flashcards where you can print out the entire set or just the ones they missed. So you can send those home. You can use them in the classroom. You can play games with them. We just added writing practice, which is another principal resource where they can practice their high frequency words or their name. And all these things you can also send home, because we always want to strengthen the school to home connection, right? That's right. We know research has shown us that the stronger the connection, the more beneficial it is and the more impactful for student success. We know that that's true. So we're always trying to think of the ways that we can make parents not only feel like they're informed, but that they're included.
I also would like to say another way ESGI is used is for kindergarten roundup. So imagine how powerful this is when you have incoming kindergarten students. Now, as an administrator without ESGI, I would have struggled to know where those students are academically. And when I needed to make classrooms, I wouldn't know who was my high, medium, and low students. I would just put them in classrooms, right? And then some of them are stacked differently. But with ESGI, you bring the parents in on that kindergarten roundup day. You sit down with the student for 5 minutes and run through a kinder readiness test, for instance. Have the data right there. Send home the flashcards and the parent letter and say, you know, here's some things your child might want to practice before they come to school in the fall. And at some point, the parent looks at those and says, yes, great, we'll practice them at home. Or, ooh, there's a lot of things on my list. Maybe I'll choose to keep my child home another year. And so having that kind of information was helpful for the parents and the administrator and the teacher to see where those incoming kinders are. And so that's just another way that ESGI is used.
That's incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. So, Rochelle, I know before we came on, you talked about that you might possibly share some stuff on your screen. Are you wanting to share kind of what it looks like? And are you ready to share now?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's make sure that we're ready here. I'm happy to show you ESGI. So all you need to do is log in with any internet connected device. And so the neat thing about this is teachers then can run reports, you know, from anywhere. Let's say you're at Starbucks and you just want to do your report cards. You can pull up ESGI on your phone and you can run reports. But for the administration in the classroom, what we find is that teachers are mostly using their laptop computer and maybe an iPad. And so when you log in, you will add your students simply by clicking the plus sign here, and then you're able to add students. So there you are, Shelley, you're added as my student. And then if you are a kindergarten teacher, you'll see some sample tests for kinder, ELA, and math. And if you're first grade, you'll get some sample tests as well. This is by no means the amount of tests that we have in ESGI. These are just some samples that you might use right off the bat. So with a student chosen, you can then test on a particular skill test. So you can see here uppercase letters, for instance. And you can sit side by side with the student and click the test button, or you can use the launch student screen option. Now that would mean linking two devices. So we could sit, I could sit at my laptop and you, Shelley, could be at an iPad, holding an iPad, and you'll see the test item on the screen. So let's go with a test real quick. You can see here that we have the uppercase letter here, and the teacher simply says the directions. What letter is this, Shelley? Answers correctly, we click the yes or the no buttons. Notice we have a notes section. So if you said R for this one, we can put that in there. Maybe this one was a self-correct. So we can put that in there. You can skip any questions that you would like, and you can actually close the test at any time. So we do that here.
Rochelle, I want to interrupt just really quickly. I apologize, but the notes section is a great place to track prompting and queuing as well for those IEP goals.
Fantastic. And it looks like a small area. However, you can type a lot of notes in here as well. And one,
so it's expandable. Okay.
It's expandable for sure. And one thing to note here, we have this showing a black background with a kind of a yellow item on the test screen. But we also got feedback that for some visually impaired students, perhaps a white background with a black letter would be useful. And so we have that as well. So know that you can change the background there. Then it shows you immediately the pie chart with the percent correct and incorrect. And then from here, this is where we go to those parent letters. So you can click on a parent letter. And again, this is in the home language of the parent here, and notice it's already personalized and shows the test name, the test session date, as well as the correct and incorrect from each one of those. So immediately,
holy cow, that is
knows,
amazing.
I know which ones they can practice immediately. And as I mentioned, you can download these as well. So if you download this as a PDF, you can just attach it to your email system and send it home or put it in the backpack. And then,
So I have a question before you move on.
Yep.
Okay, so that was today's date. And so if we went in next Thursday, for example, and we did that uppercase letter test again, does it show the same type of data? So that way, you know, okay, well, this was done on a Tuesday. This one was done on a Thursday. Yes. And it'll say, okay, you know, whatever, had 18 correct and which those were. And, okay.
So watch this. This is a history graph. Every single time that the student has been given the test, it shows here on this type of graph. And then when you click on it, you can find out information about the details like this. So each test session is listed here, and it includes the time of day. So ESGI is not a timed test. However, it is time stamped. So like Jen was saying, perhaps students had morning meds versus afternoon meds, and maybe the time is an important factor in when you're analyzing the data, correct? So you can see that is there, and then it shows what they got correct and incorrect on that test session. So, yes, you can look at every single test session on the history graph here. So if this were a real student, we'd be saying, uh-oh, what happened on this date right here? You know, big drop.
Right.
And in the test summary notes would be the place where you might say, switch, you know, going to switch this assessment to PM, took new meds this morning, too sleepy, so that you could go back and see the correlation between, so to see the summary session notes at the bottom, that's where you could write med change, very tired, or spent the weekend at grandma's or whatever, and have that information stored with that test session so that you'll always know if there's some type of anomaly happening, why that's happening.
And yes, like fire drill happened.
Right. And that is so... such an incredible piece of data that oftentimes teachers overlook. Right. And it's so vital because, you know, I mean, you think everybody thinks that we can perform at 100% every day, all day long, and we can't. It's not humanly possible. We all have factors that influence us from the outside and all the things that you mentioned, and plus a myriad more. And if we know that data and we include that when we're tracking how well a student knows something, that's huge because we, exactly what you said, Jen, you can look at that and say, oh, look, there's a pattern that after they've spent the weekend at grandma's, which maybe happens once a month on a regular basis, they're, you know, like Monday morning or Tuesday, whatever, like their cognition is really low.
Right.
And so then you take that and you go, okay, if I know that this student is going to grandma's for this upcoming weekend, I'm either going to try to test before they go, or I'm going to wait a little bit longer after they've come back. Because then you're getting more valid information about how the student knows and what the student knows versus, well, okay, you know, if I didn't have that information, I wouldn't catch that something about being at the grandparents over that weekend messes with their ability to process.
I think sometimes this anecdotal information is just as important because it adds context to the data. So imagine the impact this has on like retention and recoupment. Now you have all of the surrounding factors you can document as to why maybe after breaks, they're losing, you know, they're losing skills, or maybe after breaks, they're not losing skills because maybe your note is, hey, they practiced this shoe tying with them every single day over Christmas break, or, you know, whatever it is. Right. But it's such an important piece to the puzzle. And I think about the students who I worked with over the years who did not communicate verbally and couldn't say, hey, I had new medication this morning, but I knew that they did because I found it out from their parent or their guardian. And so I could just put that in as a note for whoever is working with this student going forward. They could look at it and be like, oh, hey, they didn't do great this day. Maybe, you know, my pair is working with them. They didn't do great last Monday either. What's going on?
Right. Yes. And that's so key too, is finding those, like we had a student that every Tuesday was, or every, not, I don't want to say Tuesday, every second day of the week was a problem for him behaviorally. Mm-hmm. And if it hadn't been for us going back and looking at the data that we were keeping, we wouldn't have figured that out. And right. then we could say, all right, well, we don't know exactly why it is that this happens every Tuesday, but we're not going to assess him on anything on a Tuesday.
Right.
Because something is going on that day, and that's not him showing his 100% ability level.
Yeah. Sometimes finding those patterns is just as important, right?
Yeah. So while the student maybe is self-assessing, is the teacher able to put notes in for that as well?
Here's an example of an intro to tech type of test. We had these because this was also determined that some students really need to learn how to operate a mouse, for instance, things like that.
Sure.
So we put these in here as well. So when I launch this test for this student, I can do the self-assess or the teacher one-on-one. So the self-assess then looks like this. Now, we always have a practice test that the student can take, and we highly encourage them to take it if it's their very first time taking the test. And then when it's time to start the session. Now, notice there's only three that a teacher can add at this time because we don't want to overwhelm a student. So when they're on the iPad by themselves, they are just going to take three tests and then hand the iPad back to the teacher. So when they start the session, they have the ability to have the directions read to them as appropriate. So here it reads the direction and then they have to choose, you know, the space bar and so on. So as far as adding the notes, you can at the end of the test session, the teacher can go in at the end and write something down if they want. Same as we did before in the detail section. So all this data rolls up to the teacher dashboard that you saw here. And then you can go to the detail section afterwards and say, you know, took the self-assess test, guessed on the question, you know, whatever you want to put in here.
Right.
You can add summary notes after the fact. Yes. And so you could say, I noticed this student only took two minutes to take this test, and it really yeah. should have taken 5 minutes or something like that. So you can see that here.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to say, it records the duration of the test. And as a mother to a child who has on more than one occasion rushed through something just to be finished, it's nice to be able to look at the duration and be like, you know, maybe you should spend more than 22 seconds. And then, you know, maybe they're not ready for self-assess, or maybe they just need a little bit closer proximity to you when they're self-assessing because they're still rushing through. So every little bit of information helps.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
It really does, because oftentimes we presume that a child doesn't know a skill when if we had all of that anecdotal information that we are talking about, we mm-hmm. could see, oh, well, these are more behavior related because they're trying to rush through, because they were, you know, it's the second day of the week, or they were at grandma's over the week, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it's morning and they have new med and it didn't kick in until the afternoon, whatever that anecdotal information is. So that can really help too with the IEP direction and whether or not a student even needs as much time as they're getting in special education, because sometimes we just are so focused on, well, they don't know the skill, they don't know the skill, and we're not looking at all the other stuff. And if we were addressing all the other stuff, it would prove that they know the skill because they would be able to show us in a manner that works. Is there anything in here, again, as a data nerd, and I'm like totally mm-hmm. freaking out, loving all of this, by the way, that shows what, because you had mentioned this, Jen, that triggered this concept of who was working with the child at the time, because sometimes mm-hmm. that affects how good or how poor someone does on something.
Well, that's where you would put that in the details, right?
Yes.
Is that what you were thinking?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have a specialist account, you can share a student with a homeroom teacher. And if you're logged into a specialist account, it will say, like, let's say you're the reading interventionist, or you're, you know, whatever. So you're logged in, you test them. It will say that it was tested by the specialist, but, and same vice versa if it's by the teacher. But when you are, like, if you have a para that logs in, it wouldn't differentiate because that would still be the teacher's account. So it wouldn't, there's not a way to differentiate the person, but you can put it in the detail notes, the summary.
Right.
Yes, mm-hmm. Summary. Mm-hmm.
So that's a good point that Jen brought up. So if you are a teacher in the classroom, you possibly have someone helping you to assess students, you can have a support login. So both of you would be logging into the same account. So you can start here. I can start down here. We can meet in the middle, you know, and log into the same account on two different devices and cut the time in half. So yes, you can.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Have that kind of support.
Yeah. Specific to, you know, paraprofessionals or support staff in the classroom.
Correct.
Have a secondary login to that primary account, but it would not differentiate, you know, I tested the student or my para tested the student because it's technically still the same account.
The same account. Right. Mm-hmm. So I can tell that you have listened to teachers because all these little things that are included in this, you had to, I mean, or otherwise some one person would be an amazing genius, but it seems obvious that you have listened to the feedback from all of the teachers. Cause I can absolutely see a teacher saying, well, if I could, you know, log in and my parent could log in at the same time and exactly the example that you gave Rochelle.
Yes.
I mean, I could see that having been a teacher suggestion.
Yes. Now check this one out. This one blows people away when we're at teacher conferences and we say to them, what's your least known uppercase letter in your class right now? And they'll look at us like, I don't know. That's going to take a lot of research and going through my data binder. But with ESGI, we have this item analysis graph. So this item analysis graph is showing that in this classroom, N is the least known uppercase letter. Most kids know X and O. And so just that alone is going to help this teacher really focus on N, Y, and V because those are the least known in the class. But watch this. Clicking on a bar for letter N now shows me who knows it and who doesn't know it. So you better believe that I'm going to put these kids close on the carpet when I'm teaching letter N, that type of thing, right?
So Holy cow.
I know. And you can click on each one of these and get that same information, or you download it as an Excel file, and then each one of these bars becomes a column on an Excel spreadsheet. Let's see if this will work with the screen sharing.
And again, you know, this is such crucial information. I'm thinking of this from an IEP standpoint, but I can certainly, we lost the screen share.
Yeah, I'll reshare.
But I can certainly see, you know, in a gen ed classroom, because if you see that, you know, half of your class isn't getting the concept of the letter N, well, you don't have to focus on the entire alphabet. You just focus on the letter N. And, oh, mercy sakes, this is...
Right?
I kind of want to go back into teaching full-time just so I can play with this program.
Are you looking at the Excel spreadsheet right now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just got so excited I forgot.
Okay. So with N here, I can immediately see who was not tested, who got it incorrect, and then, you know, who got it correct. Plus, it'll tell me that N is 73% mastered in my class. If I go down the column here, then I can look across at, you know, a student, for instance, here and see how they're performing. And in addition, I can click on this details and then here's my groups. So for letter N, here's the students that got it incorrect. For T, here's who got it incorrect, and so on. So
and you can see it's pretty similar all the way across with the same couple of names at least, and just a quick glance. And that's, oh my gosh. Now, okay, I'm looking at this and I am thinking about that teacher that is not tech savvy at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here thinking, I could hear a very good friend of mine when I taught who was an amazing teacher, but if you brought new technology to her, it freaked her out. Mm-hmm. And so what is the kind of support and training that is offered to the teachers with this program?
Sure. First of all, it's very easy with just a few steps to get set up with ESGI. So you simply log in with a username and password that you develop. And then what you can do is go to our virtual training academy, which I'm sharing right now. And it is just some quick videos that you can use to get started. So it's self-service. We have a 2-minute, 4-minute, 30-minute video. And we believe that if you take this 30 minutes, that you will be successful with the SGI. And then in addition, we give you these opportunities to just learn a little bit about each particular feature that you might need just with very short 1 or 2 minute videos. So you can see we have two paths here that you can take. Working hours, we think teachers will be able to just do this very quickly. But if you have a little bit more time and you're after work and you want a little happy hour, you can learn about ESGI and wine at the same time. So there you go.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Very nice.
And then you can learn more, of course, down here, and you can always contact us here at the bottom. So that is the Virtual Training Academy that you can access when you are simply on a free trial if you'd like to and find out more about ESGI. So because ESGI was made by that kindergarten teacher in a kindergarten classroom where he got input from many veteran and newbie teachers, he was able to design it in a way that was accessible to all, tech savvy or not.
That's
incredible. We have some of the best support pages of any software. I've worked with a lot of different educational software in my time in the classroom. I feel like we got new stuff every year. I've never seen support pages this thorough. Our customer support team is amazing, and they write the most thorough support pages with, you know, lots of videos. And so if you are stuck on something, I'm always like, check the support pages because they're just incredible. They've done such a great job.
That's so awesome. So this is the main website for anybody to go to, the ESGIsoftware.com. And so they can go there, and then that will get them who to contact, how to contact, and get them going on this. And I really hope that many, many teachers are watching this or we'll watch it in the replay. I was kind of glad that we had arranged it to do it in the summer because I thought, oh, that'll be good. A lot of teachers will be able to watch, you know, watch it live. For whatever reason, that isn't happening today, but hopefully that means they'll just catch it in the replay. So we have just about 5 minutes left. And so I want to make sure that we've covered, first of all, what you both wanted to cover about the software today.
Yeah, I think my main takeaway for specifically for this audience, hoping that there's a lot of special education teachers and interventionists here, the things that we have coming in this upcoming month for our specialists, I'm so excited about this IEP report, so excited about this IEP stock tab that will be in their accounts that has 12 pre-made tests ready to go that are basic IEP goals. And then we will continue to add things to support teachers and specialists. I mean, just in the upcoming, that's our roadmap. And we always like to talk about how we're really teacher oriented and that's our mission, and really supporting teachers in any classroom setting. That's always been our North Star. And I think that's truly, you know, who we are as a company.
I agree as well. And we always say, try it out first, add your own students, put in the assessments that make sense to you, because we are a platform. You design it to meet your needs. And you can do that for 60 days for free. So when you go to that website that's listed there, click on free trial, because you're able then to get full access to ESGI. Because we are a teacher company, we want teachers to try it out. The best way to know if something works for you is to use it and to design it to meet your needs. So as soon as you get into that trial, go to that test explorer, look for skills tests that make sense for your classroom, and design it to meet your needs. And then we're here to help you, of course, if you need help.
And now is the perfect time to kind of get in there, because it's here where I am. I'm in the Midwest. And schools are going to be starting in the next probably 3 to 4 weeks. I'm sure teachers are like, don't say that out loud.
was coming.
Yeah, teachers are already, we live across the street from a school, and teachers have already been in their classrooms doing things for the last couple of weeks. And my husband's a teacher, and he's been in his room a couple of times as well. And so, yeah, getting in there and getting that trial period now, getting it set up, usually by now you have your class list. And that's, I did want to know that. Is it a license, or like, does everybody get like 20 students or 100 students, or is that dependent upon the licensing?
Yeah. So it's a year subscription per teacher. So we're priced per teacher. Even if districts decide to purchase for the whole district, it's still a per teacher price, and 35 students can be added to the roster. So hopefully they don't have more than 35. Now, if they do, they might need a specialist account, which we talked about before, which will allow you to have more students on your class list. And you have the functionality of sharing that data back with the homeroom teacher. So that costs a little bit more money, but basically it's a single teacher license. You don't have to wait for the district to purchase it for you. You can purchase it on your own. And then what happens, organic growth is how ESGI has been built. One teacher finds out about it, they tell another teacher, because we all listen to our colleagues, right? And if somebody finds something that's great, says, hey, you should try this out, they try it out, then the two of them come together and go to their administration and say, hey, you know what? We have this tool, doesn't cost a lot of money. It's a yearly subscription. Will you buy it for us? Administrator says yes, they get access too. Then from there, other principals start talking in the district. They go to the district administration and say, hey, we're all using this tool. What do you think about buying it for the whole district? So that.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.